We Talk Podcast presents Open up the champagne pop. It's my house, come on, turn it up. Hear a knock on the door and the night begins. What it is, what it do. Welcome to Stick Boy Fresh Take We Talk Podcast presents One Falls WrestleMania Review with your host, Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot, with the one, the only, the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How's it going?
Joel, it is going great. WrestleMania just happened, and it was a lot of it. It was a lot to devour. And a lot of devour of wrestling for us because we watched the Evolve show starting around 12 o'clock where we rewatched it, one we hadn't seen yet. Then we watched some of the Hall of Fame, and then we went right into WrestleMania. This was wrestling Christmas literally for the entire day for us.
It was long. I'm tired. I guess we could hit on Evolve and that quickly. Zack Sabre Jr., Will Ospreay.
Ospreay and Ricochet. TJ Perkins looked really good. Ricochet, out of everyone, looked and Zack Sabre Jr., really impressed with them. Ricochet needs to get signed now.
Yeah, there are just certain guys that looked ready, and he is ready. I think we can agree that Sabre needs to put on a little bit more weight.
Yep. A little bit more, get a little bit more built. You know, I kind of look at a Tyson Kidd type of body frame. Even Brian, he reminds me a lot of Brian when he was down in ROH in the early NXT time. But it's a diamond right there, and diamond in the rough. He's a special guy, and he's going to be in the tournament on the network. So I'm excited for that. And Ricochet, I think, is probably going to be on there. It sounds like TJ Perkins is going to be on there. So Evolve, you know, has got some nice stuff. We were hoping to watch the Ring of Honor show. Unfortunately, that wasn't available to watch. But it was a nice little start, and you realize how different the production is sometimes when you watch some of these indie shows, but still, it doesn't matter if you have production or not, because those were three matches we really highlighted. We kind of skimmed through parts of the Chris Hero stuff and the whatnot, but some great matches on those shows, like matches I'm not going to forget, and guys that are really highlighted for me that I definitely want to keep an eye on this year. So if you have a problem with the show we're about to talk about, remember there's other things to watch. And I mean, we're going to go into this. I know there's a lot of negative stuff on WrestleMania right now. I think I summed it up perfectly. It reminds me a little bit of Dawn of Justice. There's stuff that's really good. There's stuff that's but all in all, it was there for your entertainment.
It was, and that's one thing that I think people need to keep in mind is there is other things out there for you that you can watch. So if you're not happy with this product, you don't have to sit there and go on Twitter. You don't have to go on Facebook. You don't have to go on Instagram. You just go watch something else, and then when their numbers start to dwindle, then maybe they sit there and go, maybe we need to do something else. But let's get to the show. This is the show that, you know, until you've been there, are you that big deal of a wrestler? It's hard to say. I think this and Wrestle Kingdom are very important for wrestlers.
One guy wrestled both shows, and I will say, I don't care if I can hate it, I do think this was a better overall spectacle, better show than NXT. Maybe there's better wrestling on NXT, but as far as a show, it's a better show, if that makes any sense.
You know, NXT, I think one, to play devil's advocate, is I think NXT did a very good job at keeping things simple.
Yes.
I think that this show suffered from, let's make things complicated. I think the most simplest thing on this program was Dean and Brock.
That's, you summed it up perfectly. I can't sum it up any better. It was NXT was very simple. You have your match, go to the next match, go to the next match, and the outcomes were perfectly done. I mean, the only one that was a little weird was Bayley and Asuka, but aside from that, everything was on point and good.
They didn't try to make anything too complicated. They didn't try to sit there and make your life too hard, and they did what they needed to do.
Again, Joel, you're summing it up perfectly. You're making everything pretty obvious to me. There was a lot of, you know, they say the grandeur, the spectacle, and there was a lot of that on this show tonight. It was very well meant for the casual once a year fan. You know, this is the Super Bowl of wrestling, and you definitely had all those elements that made it feel like a special show. And I think that's what makes WrestleMania so great. You can walk away and say, like, well, I didn't like this and like that, but I don't think you can deny how special tonight felt. Like, there was there are segments that make you get up and remember why you're a wrestling fan, and we're about to get into those.
Yeah, and I think we got to start at the pre-show. So the show starts off. We see the video package. Everything's good to go. Our first pre-show match is, well, let's hit on the first pre-show match, which was Kalisto versus Ryback. I think it suffered a little bit from the issue down at the stadium with the Wi-Fi going down and the massive lineup. You go on Twitter, you can see people going, "Let us in, let us in, TNA, we want to see that."
Why would you chant TNA? Why not chant Japan or ROH or Evolve? Why are you chanting TNA? That's the most irrelevant out of all the companies right now.
I think it's just people's way of, they're just mad. I think I was hearing people were fainting before the show, like, just because of the heat and everything. It was just very, like, it wasn't great for a lot of people, but I think Kalisto and them tried their best for having a very small audience. It's not going to be a match I don't think we're ever going to remember. But I think they get, I thought they did a good job, and I'm not surprised Kalisto got the win. The little guy got the victory, and it was a very simple, straightforward match.
Yeah, it's kind of a thing I've already forgotten. He hit the Sarah Del So, and boom, over, next thing to go.
Well, what we're going to do is, I think we're going to skip ahead one match.
Yeah, good call.
And we're going to go to the Usos versus the Dudley Boys. Here's what this match was. It was a tag team match that was cut 10 minutes short. It felt like it. They didn't have really time to develop certain things.
It was a main event. It was whatever, Sunday Night Slam, whatever other, it was a house show match. It was insignificant. It was cool to see the Dudleys back at WrestleMania, and that was about it.
Yeah, they didn't get to build, like, if we're going to look at the tag team matches that have been done this weekend, American Alpha, mm-hmm. Revival, Dash and Doshin, they got the time and they got to do their thing, but this match was cut short, and it probably was for the right reasons. I didn't really care about this match, and Usos going over, no surprise there.
No, they got the table spot. We thought we were going to get the table spot, and yeah, good to go. So next up, Joel, we had something very special. Lita was in the ring and had a robe under something very special. And what was under that robe? The Women's Championship. And it wasn't the belt that Alondra Blaze had like you and I thought it was. It was a belt that looked very similar to the WWE Championship. And it looked great. And the women's division is here. Not only that, they're not calling them women. They're calling them superstars.
The when I see that title, there's one thing I think of, and that's equality. It's just the female version of the WWE World Heavyweight title.
Absolutely.
It
brought a smile to both of our faces. And if anything, you and I just went for a stroll before this. And I think we were talking about moments. And there's a lot of moments in this WrestleMania to me. And that's a moment that I think will definitely stand out, was the start of equality in the WWE. And what that means going forward for other things, we don't know. I mean, we still haven't really had an African-American champion. Some would say The Rock. I guess that counts in a way, but I think we're still looking for a full African-American type of champion. And maybe we're on our way with that. I think it's a very progressive thing and a chance of hope. And my just not to derail too much into the political side of things, but I'm just very happy that these women are on the same level as the men. They had arguably the best overall match tonight. And It was just a breath of fresh air. You and I just had this overcome of feeling. You and I had heard stuff about this before WrestleMania, but it's just when you see it, you just put a smile on your face to know, like, it's the same level as the men's championship, which it should be.
Oh yeah, I totally agree with you. I look at this and I go, it's the same now. They had probably one of the best matches. This is the first woman's match that felt like it was one of the main events.
Yeah, I mean, Trish has had some good ones. Trish had the one versus Mickie James, and I believe she had one in Toronto, if I'm not mistaken, versus Lita and Victoria or Jazz. I think it was Jazz. But to your point, this still felt like a Divas match to a degree. They busted their ass, and I mean, those earlier 2000s women's matches with Victoria and Trish and Molly Holly and Lita, they were great. But then we had this lull with Playboy Bunny fights and pillow fights, and I guess that really that was the diva revolution. This is the women's revolution. This is the superstar women revolution, and it's a breath of fresh air to see those girls go out there and say, like, hey, I'm just as excited for that as I am AJ and Chris Jericho.
Yeah, totally. But there is, after the reveal of that championship, we did get
a farewell to Divas.
Yeah, we did get a farewell to Divas, and I'm going to let you take this.
So, yeah, we had Team Total Divas, which was Brie Bella. It was Natalya. It was Paige. It was Eva and Alicia Fox. And we had Team Bad and Blonde, which had Tamina, Naomi, Emma, Summer Rae, and Lana.
You got all of those correct, so there you go.
And I will say, Summer Rae, Lana, and Eva looked completely fine.
There was no botches. There was no "you fucked up" chant. There was no Botchamania chant. They look fine. I know it was protected tag match, but hey, you know what?
I was actually pretty impressed with Lana's kicks.
Those were pretty good.
I mean, we have yet to see what she's like in a full match, but you emphasize the strengths of everyone. Eva can do sliced bread. She did it fine on Tamina. She had a nice little suplex. I think overall, you know, it was fine. I had no problem with it. In fact, I wouldn't mind that being on the main card, but in hindsight with how Lana was, probably not. But out of all the things in the pre-show, I think it was the most newsworthy.
And it was newsworthy because it was, we got some decent moments, but we got the best transition to the Yes Lock. And even Daniel Bryan said it was the best transition to the last Yes Lock. And we got Brie's last wrestling moment.
Well, it looked like that. Nikki came out, which was a nice little moment, and they were hoisting her on their shoulders, but the director or the producer made this idiotic choice to cut to the crowd, which was maybe not the best choice considering how the show started off with a lot of problems with the Wi-Fi in the arena.
It just seemed like it was very problematic to start, but Brie Bella got her moment. You know, I'm happy for her. She will always have that, and it's nice to see.
It was nice to see. And let's talk about other things nice to see as we move to the main card of WrestleMania, and we start with the ladder match. And we'll talk about watching the ladder match, but the best part about that was the winner, who is Zack Ryder, who I think you and I wanted to pick with our hearts, but we're like, there's no way they would actually do it, and they did it. And he got a nice moment with his dad as well. And we had heard that they were going to start pushing Zach, and I guess that was true. And you and I had talked about this before. Hard work pays off, and it definitely did. And it's a good sign for anyone in the back of the locker room.
I think this is definitely that sign to the locker room that if you work hard, you make sacrifices, you go through crap, and you just keep take your head down and just keep going, you'll be fine. He deserves it.
I don't know if he got the brass ring, but he reached some kind of ring for Vince and the guys. And, you know, there's going to be a lot of people like, oh, no, what if Sammy get it? Or why would you put on Zack Ryder? But Sammy and Kevin Owens are going to get their shine. Like, don't worry about it. That's the thing. Like, a lot of people see things like, well, that's gone now. It's always going to be there. You're going to get Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Let's just I'm just happy that we rewarded a guy who bust his ass off. Not that, you know, that maybe The Miz doesn't. The Miz obviously does great PR stuff and Dolph doesn't. But this is a guy that was on Main Event and was drugged down NXT to be with Mojo Riley, who may be the worst guy on the NXT roster. His only, like, really good quality is that he's friends with Rob Gronkowski. This guy had to work through all the bad things, and he came back, and now he's on top of the mountain as the Intercontinental Champion. He's been a U.S. Champion, Intercontinental Champion. His best WrestleMania moment was Eve Torres kicking him in the nards. And now he gets to say that he won the IC title and had his dad in the ring with him, and one of the biggest attendances of all time.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, you're absolutely right. Summed it up perfectly. Sammy and KO will be fine. This is probably as high as Zach goes, mm-hmm. which is okay.
He'll never be a world champion, but this is great. You know, you get to see an Intercontinental Champion. He's, by Coco Beware standards, a Hall of Famer now.
He certainly is, and I think let's get to the match itself. There were several spots that definitely you kind of hold your breath. Sin Cara, for a guy that is what we would consider a Band-Aid by most standards, he did some pretty crazy things.
Yeah. The one when I think, I can't remember who tipped the ladder. I think it was KO. Tipped the ladder onto him, and he fell onto Stardust. That was a pretty crazy spot. And how about Stardust attire? It was really cool with the polka dots. Little tribute to his pops. So I was really happy to see that as well. That was really cool.
Yeah, and, you know, I can't help but feel that Sammy got hurt. But, not Sammy. Not KO. Yeah, well, KO definitely got...
Oh, Stardust.
Stardust. But KO, that suplex that KO took from Sammy was... There were a few spots that this was a car wreck. Now, my question to you, a lot of people are calling for the end of ladder matches because of this spot fest. What do you think?
I'm fine with that. I like ladder matches, obviously. I remember after the Summer of Punk, or during it, or whatever, CM Punk went on Bill Simmons' podcast and was asked what matches you hate the most, and he said ladder matches because of how dangerous they are. I think if it wasn't for ladder matches, I think you could argue that Edge would still be around. Christian would still be around. It's amazing that they're really the only two out of those six guys in those TLC matches that are gone compared to the Dudleys and the Hardys. And you almost look at those two guys and what, especially the Dudleys have done in ECW and the Hardys do, period. And those are the two guys that are out. But it just kind of shows like they do shorten careers. And some of the spots, like it's the classic JR line. Like, how do you learn to fall off a 20-foot ladder? I think you said that earlier too. There's just some stuff that's so stupid in it that for entertainment, it's great. And there's stuff that later on that's like, I get you're doing that for entertainment, but that was just really stupid for your livelihood. And it's fun, but if they went away with them and said, no, we're not doing a ladder match anymore, I would be fine with it. It's like when they got rid of Blood. I'm like, at first I was like, oh, why did you get rid of Blood? But now if you see Blood, it's so awesome. And maybe they get rid of ladders for a while and then you bring back a ladder match. You're like, oh, I haven't seen one of these for so long.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with you. I definitely think that ladder matches need to be kind of, you need to take a step back with a ladder match. But it was fun. It was entertaining. All these guys gave it their all. And I mean, The Miz helped give Ryder a fantastic moment, standing on the top of that ladder, smirking. And then suddenly you see a little Zack Ryder come scurrying up. It was a good way to kick it off. You always want to kick your shows off with a high octane match, and that's exactly what you did, and it was fun.
It was one of my favorite matches on the card. I really, really enjoyed it.
I think as we roll along, I think our next match has Y2 Jackass facing the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. Now, I don't think these two click.
No, and I don't think it's AJ's fault.
I really feel like Jericho has lost a bit of a step.
It's weird, though, because the SmackDown match was actually really good. Like, the first match was really good. The Raw match was really good. Even the SmackDown match was fine. The two pay-per-view ones have been meh.
Yeah, it seems... I don't know. I like Jericho. I think Jericho is definitely a talent that you will remember forever. But just in this current setting, it just seemed like Jericho was like, oh crap, I got to get running. Or, oh crap, I got to get moving again. And Styles, and that kind of just screwed with the flow a bit.
It reminded me, so when he came back for the Bray Wyatt stuff, you and I were both like, yeah, this is going to be great. And those Wyatt matches weren't very good. And it's not like Bray Wyatt's bad in the ring. Who else has he had feuds with? Like he had that last match with Randy Orton last time, and that match was fine, but I almost question if it's maybe Jericho slowing down a bit. I think you and I saw him face Kevin Owens here in Calgary, which could match, but maybe he's getting, I don't want to blame Chris Jericho specifically. I think it's just these two just don't click. Sometimes it doesn't matter how good you are. I'm sure I can't think of one right now, but I'm sure there's matches that CM Punk didn't click, Kurt Angle, Daniel Bryan, Bret Hart. Sometimes, it doesn't matter how good both of you are, sometimes you just don't click in the ring, and these two just don't click.
You could say that their styles clashed.
Yeah, I will say I think there is a tiebreaker at Payback. AJ wins that, and then we move on. I think a lot of people are going to be butthurt that AJ lost, But it doesn't really matter to me that he lost. I think you're building a series. And that's the one thing I will say. Like, as far as booking goes tonight, some people are going to question it. But they've changed their booking for you fans so many times. At least we forget about Daniel Bryan. And last year was Seth Rollins. It was about time that Vince and the guy said, you know what? We can't keep swaying every time the fans want something. And the fans have such a short-term memory. Like, they're like, they never do what I want. It's like, they did the whole Daniel Bryan thing for you. They did the Seth Rollins scene for you. And people, I've seen stuff on Twitter, people like, they're tone deaf. They didn't hear the boos. Of course they heard the boos. They know what's going on. But let's see what happens on Raw. Let's see what happens going forward. Wrestling fans are so short-term mind. You have to see what happens in the long term of things. I think they made the right choice with all their decisions tonight, especially with this. I think we're going to get another match either on Raw or we're going to get a match on Payback, finish the series, and then move on.
Yep, I totally agree with you. I think that... and we have to remember, I totally agree with you. I think we have to remember that AJ Styles wrestled on Wrestle Kingdom 10 and he lost, and no one complained about that. And AJ Styles has won his pay-per-view debut. He won his Monday Night Raw debut. Is it common that these outsiders come in and win right away at WrestleMania? No.
Nobody wins every match unless you're the main guy, unless you're like a Cena or Roman Reigns. You're going to win every match. And do we like those guys? Maybe not. But your guys aren't going to win. Punk didn't win everything. Bryan didn't win everything. Kevin Owens doesn't win everything. We saw it tonight. He lost the IC title again. Sometimes those guys don't win everything, but in the long term, you know they're going to be part of great things. It's not like AJ lost to Jericho and now he's done. And I think that's like they're burying him and he's done. Even look at the Stinger. He lost to Hunter, but Sting still had one really good last match with Seth Rollins and probably would have done stuff at this WrestleMania, maybe with the Bray Wyatt. Who knows? But I think it's such short-term memory the fans have. Did I like this match overall? It was fine. It was what it was. There were some really fun spots. But for the most part, I could have lived or died. I could have lived without it.
Yeah, I think that, here's the thing, AJ Styles was at WrestleMania.
Exactly.
I was happy. Exactly. I enjoyed it. He debuted a red and white trunks this time around, no more white and blue, and that was perfectly okay. You got to see something different. I enjoyed it. So the next match on the card had the guys coming out from a cereal box. The New Day versus the Lads, League of Nations. Quickly, I'm okay with the New Day losing. They've won the last two matches. The League of Nation, if they're going to be anything like the Four Horsemen, they need to get a few wins. So they got the win, and I think we'll talk about the match first, and then we'll talk about what happened afterwards. The match was fine. I think both these teams work well together.
Yeah.
I think everything kind of works, so... I was fine with the match. It was an okay match. There was nothing like, oh my god, I'm going to remember this forever. Big E needs to stop his spear. He's going to break his neck if he keeps going the way he's going.
I really love what Lita did, the spear. I think of Lita every single time when I see that spear, and I think of Brian also.
I definitely agree with you, and you know what? It is what it is. What'd you think of the match?
Forgettable.
Yeah.
I don't remember what happened during the match. I remember what happened after the match.
And now let's talk about what happened after the match. So the Lads decide to say that they are the best group and no one could beat them, which of course opens the door for three okay guys. I think these kids have a future, don't you?
Yeah. Now there's something to be said about this. I want to know your feeling on this. So I like the League of Nations. I like a lot of the guys in there. I think Rusev is super talented. I think Alberto Del Rio is wasting away in this group. He, last year, was one of the top 10 PWI wrestlers of the year as Alberto Del Patron. He destroyed the indies. He should be one of the top guys. He should have had a singles match tonight. He should be a contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. He should have been in the IC ladder match. There's so much that him and Rusev should be doing. They're much better than this match. I want to preface that with that. Sheamus, whatever, take him or leave him. Barrett, I love Wade Barrett, but he's leaving, so whatever. So I wasn't a fan of the burial of what happened with Rusev and Del Rio. I think you need to protect those two guys. Those guys are perfect workers. There's everything you want. Having said that, it was awesome to see Stone Cold back, see Foley, and Shawn Michaels wearing ring gear.
I think that we can all agree that... what's the over-under on Shawn Michaels wrestling one last match?
I think my cousin, who came and watched this with us, who is the most casual wrestling fans, we had to explain to him who Dean Ambrose was. He was, and then he kind of remembered, oh, he's from The Shield. He even could kind of see in his eyes, like, it seemed like Sean wanted it bad. He kind of had the flare look in his eyes.
Yeah, and that's actually a really good comparison. And his kids are getting a little bit older. And didn't I hear he wanted to show his kids?
Yeah, he maybe wanted his kids to see one match. It's kind of what Goldberg has been looking for a while.
Yeah, so I think we get one last match. And I think a perfect opponent is this guy that wrestled in Japan. Maybe his name's AJ Styles.
Or Nakamura is the other one. Like, either or really work fine.
Yeah, I think either or would definitely be a very nice little decent match. But, I mean, I enjoyed it. We got to see Austin look so happy dancing with the New Day.
That Austin, like, kind of like snapping his fingers and with Xavier Woods and then landing the stunner on him was one of my favorite things of all time. I have to get that gift permanently on my phone because it was just, like I said, there's a lot of moments in this WrestleMania. I know a lot of people are happy because their guy didn't win or what happened in the main event. But I thought there was a lot of cool moments, and there was moments that just made me smile. And seeing Shawn Michaels come out and Mick Foley come out and Austin do those spears and start drinking beer, it seemed like Austin could stay out there forever.
Austin could. I think Austin's just naturally, like, he could go out there and he could talk for 20 minutes. It's just like when Ric Flair was doing the induction speech for Sting. It seemed like Flair could sit there and talk forever, and you could listen to Flair forever. I think with Austin, he could go out in that ring and he could do things for hours and he'd have fun and it'd be entertaining.
You know, I would have preferred if the Social Outcast came out and did something. That makes more sense because you don't care about any of those guys. If he stuns Bo Dallas, who gives a shit? That's what Bo Dallas is supposed to be. But when you do that to Del Rio or a Rusev, it's even Sheamus. You want to have Sheamus at a certain level when you heat him up. It sucks that they had to have that for those guys. That's my only problem. And it's one thing you always say, like, WrestleMania, you have these legends come out, and it's great. And we'll get to this in another segment, too. What happens the night after? So the night after now, do you just kind of forget those guys came out and stunned them and sweet chin music them? Or just like, well, we got to beat the New Day. That's the most important thing, so now we can challenge for the tag titles. I think that's maybe the whole point out of that.
I think they got to win over the New Day. And let's be real, like, I think those three guys wouldn't have come out and did what they did unless they were interested in it or interested. I think Rusev sold the stunner beautifully. And, I mean, the Legends didn't cost them to lose the match. They didn't lose a match to the Legends, so you can make the argument that they didn't lose a whole lot.
No.
And, I mean, it's Legends versus active rosters. So it'd be kind of like, oh, Jordan, if Jordan dunked on LeBron, no one would bat an eye at it.
Yeah, this is true. So, yeah, all in all, that was one of my favorite segments of the night. I forget how much I love Austin, too, when he came out, you know? So that was really cool to see Austin and just Mick and Sean just look so happy. So that was really cool to just see those three do their thing. And I thought the stuff with the New Day was the best part out of it because it was Stone Cold not caring.
Yeah. Stone Cold. And I think of Stone Cold's gimmick. I think he just doesn't. He doesn't sit there and buy into the crap. He's there to beat people up, drink beer, and then go home.
Yep, exactly. Let's move on.
Let's move on to what match I had high hopes for, Dean Ambrose and Brock Lesnar, but it ended in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I liked what was happening when it was going on. I thought the Dean did what he needed to do. He took an ass whooping, but when he did offense, it was great. I could have watched this. You know, the main event went a little longer for me. I could have shaved off 10 because there was good parts in that main event that I really, really liked. But I felt like it needed to be shaved about 10, 15 minutes off of it. And if they would have added that to the Brock and Dean match, I think that would have really helped it. Or add another 5 to that women's match as well.
Yeah. You and me have a theory, though, on why this match went. Yeah. We kind of chuckled at this, that Dean was a little drunk at the Hall of Fame ceremony. And we kind of chuckled it off and laughed it off. And then you remember that this is a publicly traded company, and you don't show up to work drunk.
So he was drunk on the red carpet, and then apparently you were telling me that he and Roman were laughing and chuckling the entire night, and he had to be pulled away. They're not going to put. It's the old thing with the click. We're not going to punish Shawn Michaels, but we're going to punish Triple H. And that is what may have happened. I mean, we don't want to read too much into this. We're just gauging what had happened. And we will see going on to Raw where things go with that. But I think it's fine. But there's a lot of things here. You saw the victors. You're like, well, yeah, that actually makes sense the long term with where some of the things. So Brock wins. Brock stays strong. Good.
Yeah. And I think, you know what? Dean took a beating and he still, you know, showed that he's still crazy. And it still fits his gimmick. So I'm not too worried about it.
No. It sucks because I was really looking forward to this match. I thought there could have been more to it. Unfortunately, it's going to be kind of forgettable.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I still think both these guys worked really hard. So
yeah, and I mean, Dean got the fight Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. That's great. The only unfortunate thing is, was that I think you have one more WrestleMania with Brock right now next year because he's on two or three.
I think he's got one more.
So unless he signs another one, the next year could be his last WrestleMania. I think he'll sign another one personally, but it's like. That's the point we had, and I think, you know, again, I feel like I have to keep on repeating this, but, you know, this was a very short roster this year, and you think of the guys that he could have been, like a Randy Orton or Cesaro or whoever. I thought Dean was a good choice, and Dean played his role perfectly, and there was a lot of stuff I really liked in this. Barbie wasn't used the best way I thought it could have been, and I thought maybe he tried to get the chainsaw to work, but it was a malfunction on it, but he was great in it, Heyman was great, and Brock did his thing, looked great, and I'm interested to see who Brock faces next, maybe the Wyatts.
Yeah, I do. The one thing that another thought that pops into my head is maybe they did this with Dean because we've heard reports that The Office does not see Dean as the guy, so they just wanted to kind of try to snuff what he had going for him. I don't think they will, but that's just a theory. There's no foundation to it.
When you look at the guys that are coming up too, you know, there's a guy from Japan that had a hell of a effing match on Saturday and. He could be coming up. There's Finn and the Bullet Club, which we thought we'd see tonight, and they're not coming up. And then you got guys like certain 15-time champ that came back, and Randy Orton and Cesaro and Seth. These guys are all coming back, so the card is going to get stacked against them.
Oh yeah, and there's going to be a lot of things that it's going to be very hard to justify the spots of certain people. So. Yeah, I definitely agree with you. But now, let's get to something very positive in our little world. And it was the women's match. And it's the actual women's match.
So, Andrew's Becky's was... We thought there was maybe a thought Conor McGregor might come out with Becky. Didn't happen. Entrance was fine. The highlight was probably Sasha's entrance. Had the girl... Like, pardon me if I forget who she was, but... The girl that does Sasha's entrance with her uncle... Or her... Not her uncle... Whatever Snoop is to her. Her Snoop doing her entrance is kind of a remix. And then she came out with Eddie Guerrero like tights, which is really awesome.
A quick note, those tights are the same kind of color and scheme as when he first won his WWE championship.
Yeah, 100%. And I think JBL pointed that out as well. And had a legit boss on the front. It kind of reminded me when Punk did his custom tights of the Bret Hart ones and the Randy Savage ones. I always liked seeing that. I liked seeing the tribute to stuff and... She did a few Eddie things. She did kind of the shake, and she did a really cool frog splash. Charlotte, too, heritage to her dad with the WrestleMania role from 23, 24. So that was really, really cool to see. And, man, these girls, they've had better matches in NXT for sure, but they really set the standard of what a woman's match should be in the WWE. I'm very proud of all of them tonight.
I thought they did a very good job. I thought they did... Tremendous work. I thought everything that came with this was exactly what you wanted. I really, really enjoyed what they did. And, you know, these women worked hard. They pulled some really good moves. They had maybe one botch in this whole match. I mean, the finish of the whole match is what it is. You know what? Charlotte's not a bad choice. Mo was right, so we'll give Mo his due for being right. So... But you know what? The nice thing about this match was we had no clue who was going to win. We thought we had our theories, but we sat there and we're like...
And you know, they said it's unfortunate for Becky. She kind of goes back to the bottom because they've set up another Sasha-Charlotte match, which I think Sasha faces her at Payback and wins now. My long-running theory of Bayley coming out doesn't look like it's going to be happening, unfortunately. So I don't think we get any Bayley tomorrow. No debuting D-Von Raw, but we get to see Sasha and Charlotte in the future. I'm looking forward to that. And these girls had the best overall match on the card.
I was just going to say they had match of the night. And now, as we shuffle along, we move to this one match. This match didn't have any crazy spots in it at all. I didn't want to turn away from the TV. Shane McMahon, The Undertaker. I have two questions for you. How crazy is Shane McMahon, and why would he come back and do this spot if this is pretty much... Because it appears like the storyline's ended here. Keep in mind, we have to see what happens on Monday Night Raw. What do you think of this? The first half I didn't like, and then the second half it picked up, and that spot I didn't like. I don't like when they do these absolutely crazy things.
Well, Bill Simmons and Stephen Amell, go to their Twitters, because both of them have ridiculous angles on that. Like, absolutely just nuts, both of them. So, if you want an even better angle, I guess. You can see it was kind of padded. I think there was an inflated thing in there, regardless of that. That was just dumb. His body... Oh, sorry, I hit the mic there. His body folded up like an accordion, which I was watching back the snap I took, and his body floated up like an accordion, which is just sickening. It's one of those things, just like, you respect the guy for putting everything on the line, but it was an unnecessary spot. He didn't need to do it, but I'm not going to crap on it because I respect the guy so much for putting his body on the line for us. So you can't help but be like, damn, you are a crazy son of a gun. I think Undertaker could have had better opponents in this WrestleMania. I don't know where all this goes. I think they got caught. They think they had a really good idea. It's one of those things, sometimes they book themselves into a corner. It's like, this would be really good, but how do we get out of it? I think the right choice was to have Undertaker win, because you want this to be the one. I don't think there ever will be a two. I'm kind of sure of that tonight, because this is the one time I'm like, there might be a two. I don't think there'll ever be a two. It'll just be a one. And it's funny, because last year with Bray, they showed a graphic. This year, they didn't show a graphic. They didn't show he'd be what? 24-1, I believe.
He would be...
He's 23-1, because it was the 1 and 21-1. So I believe he's 23-1 now at WrestleMania's. So they're not showing the graphic anymore, which I guess works. I like the idea of last year. It would have been really interesting if Bray had beat him last year, Shane had beat him this year. You start a losing streak. That's what I thought the right way would have been to go with the Undertaker. It's still, I guess, he's just a big performer at WrestleMania's, and it's hard to beat him. And I like the idea that Shane had to go all out to beat him. That's what that spot was to me. It's like, I have to sacrifice everything to beat the Undertaker. That's what you have to do.
And he did. He did exactly what he was supposed to do. He left it all on the line. And, I mean, at the end of the day, we got a crazy spot. And now we need to figure out what...
Shouts to Maria Menounos as well. It's looking like that like woman in the... You know those ads with like the fist up and the rag on her head? She looked like that woman with the weird Shane shirt. As we kind of have WrestleMania on in the background, I'm just seeing that again now. That was weird. She always just comes around WrestleMania time. Yeah. She's going to be a Hall of Famer, right? Oh, yeah. We joked about that today, of what it takes to be a Hall of Famer. So Bill Simmons is in the Hall of Fame now, for sure. Definitely, Stephen Amell is like, he's probably going to be like one of the main people. He's probably going to get his own theme and full entrance for the Hall of Fame. Shane, by the way, for those wondering, he had custom Jordan 30s.
Yeah, I was shocked that you guys were able to pick that up. I was like, he has shoes on. His kids at ringside.
One, the older one, walks like Vinnie Mac and looks a lot like a young Vince McMahon.
Oh, God. I wonder if he talks like
that. Yeah, I do.
So, this match, you know.
By the way, too, we're watching the Zack Ryder interviews in the background. The one thing I really like about what they've done with Zack these past few weeks is he started off as this goofy woo-woo-woo. And I like they still have the woo-woo-woo, but he's very serious and focused and a competitor. He still does that. He still does have the fun, but he's a very serious, intense competitor. And I like that about him now.
I definitely, you know, speaking of Zack Ryder, I definitely think you can now see him as a potential opponent for Cena at a point. Like, you can see that he can, and that's the one thing that we always do, and that's the one thing we did with the Evolve show, is can you see these guys across from John Cena? Yeah. That's the biggest thing.
John Cena's, the Randy Ortons, the Brock Lesnars. Those are the three that I really hold up the stand. Hunter, can you see them across from there? And if you can't, it's like a Timothy Thatcher, like, maybe he's got some work to do. He's the Evolve champion. He's got some work to do. But Ricochet is like, I just imagine like an RKO out of nowhere on him. And same with Zack Sabre Jr. Like, it's interesting to see that. But what's the next match we got?
The next match was the match I think we all were a little bit confuzzled on. And it was Baron Corbin winning the Andre the Giant.
Even that, they had the surprises. So number one, Tatanka was in the match, and they never showed that he was, which I thought was a little disappointing, because I thought that would have got a nice little pop if you had Tatanka, don't you think? And so the surprises were, and same with Baron Corbin. Like, how did Baron Corbin not get an entrance? Like, if you're going to make him win, like, the fans know who he is. But so the entrances, you got Big Show, Kane, Mark, and then the surprises, one was DDP, which is a little random, but cool. DDP's never had a major WrestleMania moment. I don't really think he got one, but still cool for DDP. His only other thing was him and Christian. So, you know, friend of the pod, DDP, got a match. So good for him at WrestleMania. And then maybe that's just something they wanted as he gets ready to go to the Hall of Fame. Just another WWE shot, him coming down that ramp at WrestleMania. I'm thinking that's maybe what it was, because I could see him going in maybe next year. And then we had Shaq.
We had all this hype. You and me were like, it's got to be Goldberg, it's got to be Cena, it's got to be the Bullor Club, it's got to be Enzo and Cass, it's got to be all these guys. Oh man, I can't wait. Oh, Shaq.
I think they dropped the ball not promoting that, because there would have been, they could have got stuff on SportsCenter, they could have had the stuff on the NBA and TNT. You could have gone to like guys like Steph, LeBron, like who's going to win, Big Show or Shaq. And I think you could have built this up to be like next year, like we're going to have Shaq and Big Show finally face each other next year, because it's been building for a long time. But after they knocked each other in the back, Big Show gave him a pat on the back and they walked out. Like, it was like, what was that? And as a bigger basketball fan than a wrestling fan, I was really excited to see Shaq, and the stare down was cool. I just don't get why you wouldn't promote Shaq being on the show. It's just stupid. DDP, Tatanka, Baron Corbin, sure, get it. But how you don't promote Shaq is idiotic.
Yeah, I don't fully understand. The one thing that I do like about this whole thing was Baron Corbin won. An NXT guy won. He gets a good rub. That's someone we didn't think would win at all, and he got a decent little, like, we know that the Andre the Giant Battle Royale Memorial match doesn't mean a whole lot. But still nice. It gives him a little...
You know, we were wondering, because they kept getting pushed. It went ahead of Dean and Brock, and went ahead of Shane and Taker. For what they ended up doing, I don't think you needed to have it where you had it. I would have rather had the women right there, to be honest. Because what happened, it's not like the crowd would have cooled down or anything like that. The women match would have been perfect right there, and you give them even more of a shine to being that closer to the main event. The Battle Royal, we kept on thinking, like, holy crap, we were thinking Goldberg or Cena are going to be in this, or Randy Orton or Cesaro. Like, someone really big is in this. And when it was the big surprise with Shaq, even though I was happy to see Shaq, that was great, but it just wasn't what you would think it was for being in that spot.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. It was weird, but good on Baron Corbin. Mm-hmm. And now let's move on to Pyrotechnics, Dallas Cowboys, and The Rock.
So there's going to be a lot of people who have a problem with this entire segment. So let's just get to the point first that when he came out and did the attendance, you and I were like, that was it. And you and I are, I think we're some of the nicer wrestling journalists to a point. We don't crab and whine about a lot of stuff. You know, if we do, you got to take it like, damn, that must have really been bad.
Or Roman Reigns.
Or Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns is the main theme. But you and I were like, kind of looked at each other like, that was it. And my cousin, again, who was here, and he wore a Rock shirt here. He was looking forward to just seeing The Rock. And we're like, what the hell? And then I pointed out to you, I'm like, I think he has wrestling boots on. I think I see the Brahma Bull. But we're like, meh. And then he still had the mic in his hand. The segment was still going. So we're like, okay, well, maybe it's going to stay. And then all of a sudden, the Wyatts came out. And then we got an impromptu match.
Well, here's the thing, and I think a lot of people have to keep this in mind, is The Rock and insurance and movies, I can't imagine that they will let things slide as much, but...
Also, Joel, your winner of the fastest match ever was Kane. So they took another record from Kane. He had two records, and you took them both away from him. Poor Glenn Jacobs. He had the Royal Rumble record and the fastest WrestleMania win over Chavo Guerrero, and they took it away from him. But I think it's just another thing to add to that Rock resume. Yeah. who we think is a Hall of Famer next year as well.
I think, you know what? The Wyatt's got to sit in the ring with The Rock, which is you know, The Rock just doesn't do anything with anybody. You can't just suddenly have him, okay, Rock, we're going to have you work with the Social Outcast. Not how he operates. It's like, Rock, who do you want to work with? This is what I want to do. Okay, Rocky, it's done. And I mean, you know what? Eric Rowan, he's probably the least. This wasn't like a Luke Harper burial or a Bray Wyatt burial. This was a Eric Rowan. I'm not too broken up over this. And we got the return of a certain meme.
Who would that be? Oh, yeah, it's John Cena. I was actually happy to see John Cena. I kind of missed him. I wish he would have had a different shirt, but I think that was mainly because I don't think they even knew going into this week he would be ready or not. I honestly don't think they had any idea what to do with The Rock. I think maybe the plan was maybe that's where Austin was originally going to go. I don't know. I think that was a last second decision that Cena went in there because he didn't have a new t-shirt.
Yeah, usually John Cena and WrestleMania involved new t-shirts. This one did not. But we got to see John Cena. Cool little visual between Rock and Cena.
He goes now.
Well, we know John Cena's been medically cleared. So we know he's good. So God only knows. Maybe tomorrow night they announce impromptu match between AJ Styles and John Cena.
Maybe. I think they're going to stay with Jericho for a bit on that. Does you care about the Del Rio feud anymore? Maybe that's good for Del Rio, but he's just going to lose it. So maybe that's not good for Del Rio. I think they stick with the New Day and that. Maybe they do something with him in the New Day. I don't know who you stick Cena with right now.
Yeah, Cena, you got to stick him somewhere. It's hard. You know what?
You know what you could do? I mean, maybe Roman's not the guy you turn.
Ooh, that could be fun. I think we'll definitely.
But I think if a heel John Cena is getting cheered by the crowd. I think a face John Cena right now is going to get cheered by the crowd over Roman.
Yeah, I think if you have to, because Hunter's not going to wrestle him again. I think the Hunter thing.
Payback, maybe, but I doubt it.
Yeah, I think what we'll see is we will see Roman needs a new opponent. Who better than the returning John Cena?
Yeah, he can be like the authority champ, but hey, I also think it's got to see what happens with Shane too. That's going to be interesting. There's a lot of things on Rottermore that left a lot of questions unanswered, which is good for WrestleMania. You know, have a lot of questions that, you know, sometimes some people are like, well, there's things need to be solved into some way. That's why I like what happened in the main event, because they stuck to their guns. They had a long time booking plan, and they stuck to their guns. And with this Rock thing, we got to see The Rock. We got to see John Cena. We got to see Bray Wyatt lose again, which, you know, I keep on hearing, oh, big things are coming for Bray Wyatt. Big things are coming for Bray Wyatt. But it's really hard for me to take Bray Wyatt serious. Even him, he was on the Cheap Heat podcast, and even him kind of sounded a little down of where his character is going, because it's, how can I believe in anything this guy does when all he does is lose? He gets big opponents. He gets the Undertakers. He gets the Roman Reigns. He gets The Rock. But it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think Bray Wyatt, I think we need to have just a Bray Wyatt podcast at one point, just talking about everything. But let's shuffle along.
I think if Luke Harper was healthy, he would have faced The Rock. I think that would have been a better, at least somewhat, standoff. They didn't want to hurt Braun, and they didn't want to hurt Bray by having the fastest loss ever. So at least Eric Rowan can say he's part of that history. Chavo Guerrero is no longer part of that anymore.
Poor Chavo. But let's get to being told to bow down by Stephanie McMahon.
Yeah, I know that entrance is going to get made fun of quite a bit. I actually liked it. It was kind of cool. Kind of, my cousin brought it up. She kind of looked like she was from. Was it you or my cousin? You that said she kind of looked like she was in Mad Max. I thought it was another. It's a typical Hunter type of intro. I had no problem with it. I thought it was fine.
And no roaming through the crowd. Nope. And here's the thing. This match had its highs and its lows. It's not a 5-star match. No, it's not a 4.
Memorable stuff in it. Some definite memorable stuff that I'm never going to forget.
Now, I think let's get to the first memorable moment. I think there's 3. There's 3 things we're going to remember from this match. The first one is the spear through the guardrail.
Yeah, that was bonkers. And you and I had joked. We said, what is he going to steal from Donna Justice? And we're like, well, he'll spoilers, you haven't seen Donna Justice. But, I mean, it's been out for 2 weeks now. Come on. when the guy that had the gun to Lois Lane and he spears that guy through a wall. You and I had joked that's what he's going to do. Oh, he did it.
He speared Hunter through a wall. The second most memorable moment is another spear to Stephanie McMahon.
And she took that like a champ.
Are you shocked? Is that gonna how they turn Roman heel? Play that over and over again?
I mean, he hit a woman in this day and age with the Greg Hardy. It's kind of ironic that they're in Dallas with all the Greg Hardy stuff. I mean, that you had abuse on a woman. I'm not a huge fan of violence on women. I think this was used the right way. But again, it's like I agree with people in that one that it's a little tone deaf because it's, yeah, that's you just made Hunter even more of a babyface. You hit a woman. Like, how am I supposed to cheer for you right now?
Yeah. And I think the third thing, and this is the biggest thing, was good God almighty, Roman got booed. Even when the crowd got back into the show, because the crowd
people
was
liked Hunter. People cheered. Kena Kings, I've heard. Maybe I heard that wrong, but definitely cheered NXT. They cheered Hunter every single time, and they booed Roman every time. And I think they tried to drown out the boos at the end with fireworks. But it didn't matter. But again, I will give them credit, and a lot of people are going to hate me for this, but the last few years, you got what you wanted. You didn't want Batista, you got Daniel Bryan. You didn't want Roman Reigns last year, you got Seth Rollins. They could only dictate away so long from what the fans want. The right choice was to put the belt on Roman Reigns. I have faith in this booking. I think he's going to be healed by the end of tomorrow in some matter. Let's just deal with what happens. In the long term, I think this is the right choice. Winning the belt on Hunter didn't matter because he's still going to lose it, and he's not going to lose it to anybody that you like. So the right choice is to put the belts on Roman Reigns right now. I don't like Roman Reigns, but I'm looking at where they're going from. They built a storyline all the way from last year at WrestleMania, really starting from the tournament through the Royal Rumble to now, and they stuck to their long-term booking. We complain all the time, WWE doesn't do long booking enough. Well, they booked long-term. That's the payoff. If you don't like it, you don't like it. But you've got to appreciate that for once they stuck to their guns and long-term booked something and did it.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I kind of look at it and I kind of go, they did it. Here's the other thing you got to keep in mind. We got a Nakamura and Bayley chant.
Yeah, we did, and I think those are two people that we'll see at the show next year. And I think, again, I like this show. I'd give it about a 7 out of 10. But next year we're going to get Nakamura's, we're going to have Bayley's, we're going to have Samoa Joe's, we're going to have Finn, Bullet Club, AJ, Seth, Cesaro, Cena, Randy Orton, and who else knows, barring everyone healthy.
This is a show that we will remember that they were not healthy. You know what?
What the roster was, like being dicey even for John Cena to show up. No Randy Orton this year. You know, no Randy Orton, no Cesaro, no Seth Rollins, and some of those guys in NXT that are going to kill on the show not being there, like a Finn and a Nakamura. Kevin Owens and Sammy killed in their match. We wanted them last year. That's the crazy thing. Like, people last year, oh man, the show would have been better if it had Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens or Sasha or Becky or Charlotte. Well, you got those on there too. There's going to be, but to me, there was never really any point where I'm like, this was absolutely terrible. There was only medium disappointment. There was never anything at the bottom like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen.
I definitely agree with you. And I think this is the best place to kind of leave this podcast is we got a lot of good things. I think next year is going to be a lot better. And
I'm looking forward to this year, man. I think there's a lot of good things coming. We have the tournament coming. I saw a few people like, I'm going to cancel the network. Shut up. You can't say, I love NXT, and then say, I'm going to cancel the network. That's just asinine. You're going to get the tournament. You're going to get NXT. I think Raw's going to deliver some exciting things tomorrow, which is what we're going to get into next. So, Joel, who do you think debuts tomorrow?
Well, I'm going to say that we are going to get Samoa Joe, and we're going to get Bayley, and that's it.
You think Bayley will come out then? Okay. I think we're getting Samoa Joe. I think we're getting the Bullet Club.
You know what? They have screwed me around for long enough. I'm just going to say no, lower my expectations, so when it does finally happen, I'll be excited. But I think we get those two. That's it. Well, we've already got the guy. Baron Corbin's debuted, so we're good.
Right. No. I think those are the people that we, I think Joe or Finn for sure, but I think it's time for Finn. He wasn't on the NXT tapings at all. Maybe he does video packages or something. I think something's happening tomorrow. There's always one big thing. We've been waiting for the Bullet Club. They're there. We've gotten the other two of that big rumor. We got AJ Styles. We've gotten Nakamura. It's time to get Gallows and Karl Anderson and get this thing going.
Yeah, and you want to know what the crazy thing is? We had sat there and we're like, oh, well, all four of those guys aren't going to come over. There's no way WWE is stolen all four of those guys. And what did they do? They stole all four.
Guys, yeah.
So I think this is a good place to end the podcast. We have an idea that Monday Night Raw is going to be wild. Yep. The crowd's going to be crazy. They're probably going to chant some stupid things. But at the end of the day, it's going to be
a tough ratings night, though. Have fun against the national championship with a powerhouse school like North Carolina. And a pretty favorable school in a city like Philadelphia with Villanova. That's going to be a tough night of ratings for the WWE and NHL and NBA playoffs heating up. I think the Warriors play tomorrow, I believe. We're chasing the streak. So as far as ratings go tomorrow, normally that the show after WrestleMania is always fun. For wrestling fans, I think it'll be great. But overall, the ratings may have a little bit of a tough time tomorrow. In fact, there's no NBA game tomorrow. It's just the national championship. Still, you have a global team like in North Carolina that a lot of people like. You have Villanova. It's going to be a tough night for the WWE rating-wise. But even though I'm going to be watching the national championship game first because my Tar Heels are in it, I'm looking really forward to Raw. It's the funnest show of the year. It's almost funner than WrestleMania sometimes.
It certainly will be. Do you think we get any legends tomorrow night?
Yeah. I don't know who. Maybe Mick.
I wouldn't be surprised if a certain little rattlesnake or...
I don't think Austin will be there.
You think Austin's one and done?
He did his thing tonight, and that's it.
How about the Heartbreak Kid?
No, I just think we maybe see Foley. That's about it. I think tomorrow will be about what we're going forward. It'll be maybe see Cesaro come back. That could be a possibility. I would have said Cena, but we have him back now. I think if we see anyone, it's going to be Joe or the Bullet Club.
And I think that's a good place to... You know what? All in all... Fun show.
It's WrestleMania, man. We build this up all year. It's the Super Bowl, and you know, this year's Super Bowl sucked. WrestleMania, was this the best WrestleMania of all time? No. With the cards they had dealt, they did a pretty damn good job. I commend them. I enjoyed myself. You know, am I happy that Roman won? Absolutely not. I hate Roman, but I understand the booking on it, and I think it's the right choice.
I couldn't agree.
Crazy motherfucker.
I think that's a good place to end things.
Absolutely. So until next time, cheers.
Shane, yep. Shane is in chain.
Yeah, he is a lunatic. Enjoy the day, people. Welcome to my house.